I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Landmarks Preservation Commission for June 12, 2019. And we'll begin this meeting by acknowledging that we're on the traditional lands of the Puyallup Indians in the Medicine Creek Treaty, which will retain the rights for fish and pasture. That's what we're going to do. Begin with a roll call this evening. We have in attendance Commissioners Sundstrom, Slessor, Johnson, House, Bartow, and ex officio McClintock. Move on to consent agenda. Are there any conditions to the consent agenda? Chair has one condition to the consent agenda, so I think putting in an item after design review, item 7 will be to discuss late breaking news, historic Tacoma. Probably not that. Historic Tacoma Partnership Advisory Committee. That's just, I will allow your brains to stew on that as we move through our meeting. Are there any objections to adding that? Any objections to the consent agenda as amended? Hearing none, we'll move by unanimous consent. Excuse absences. We have Commissioners Mortensen, Stewart, Williams, and Morgenroth are all excused. Commissioner Morgenroth for his nuptials. It should be noted that we just learned and that he had the good honor of his betrothed to say that he excuses. We'll move on to approval of the minutes from May 22nd, 2019. Was there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, is there any objection to the minutes or unanimous consent? Hearing none, so moved. There were two administrative reviews between our last session, 715 Hinsworth and 2002 Carr. Hearing no one standing up about those, so no one did. Now we're moving around. So we will now move on to our agenda. And I'm going to call the public meeting portion of the agenda to order. So order within the order. And we will call for a staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then following the staff report, I think we have a brief presentation as well. By our consultant who was on the phone. So this is the all historic district design guidelines, so public hearing. The background of this, just really briefly, the Tacoma Municipal Code requires that design guidelines be established for each local historic district in the city of Tacoma to serve as the basis for evaluating development proposals and alterations to historic buildings within each district. These guidelines provide guidance in such areas as massing scale, materials, windows, additions, and other important architectural elements using illustrated examples and recommended approaches. The Commission may once annually review and amend guidelines. As part of the 2018 update, the Commission began the process of creating specific guidelines for the Old City Hall Historic District, which does not have any guidelines because it was the first historic district designated in the city, and guidelines were never established for it. So it currently uses the General Secretary of the Interior's standards for historic preservation for project evaluation. On May 8th of this year, the Landmarks Preservation Commission voted to schedule a set of draft design guidelines for a public hearing, and the consultant Winter & Company provided an overview of this process. Just really briefly, the effects of this new guidelines are that alterations to existing properties, additions, and constructions within the historic district will be subject to the design guidelines. However, it does not change the fact that it's a historic district and alterations to them already go to the Landmarks Commission review. This provides additional guidance. The action requested, this is just a hearing, this is a testimony, this is an action before the Commission tonight. The Commission will review any testimony and comments that it sees at its next scheduled meeting and take action on the guidelines as we time.
Thank you. And we have, for the first time in my tenure, the video comments at our Commission hearings. Reaching into high technology here, we have a presentation by Winter & Company on the line, hopefully able to hear us.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Hi, this is Norrie Winter, and I'm delighted to be joining you via technology. We've saved a little bit of jet fuel and airtime, and really appreciate the opportunity to make the presentation this evening. I also want to acknowledge the help of my staff, Harry Brennan and Marcia Boyle, who have been working on this project, as well as the city's staff, and certainly the help of the commission as well. In this project, we've been working on it over the past year, and as Mr. McKnight referenced, they are mandated for the historic districts and are primarily to be used as a formal review tool, but as we've been developing the document, we've also provided information that would help property owners better understand the intent and the objectives of historic preservation in the district. And therefore, we've been thinking of it as an educational tool as well as one that it will be used in the formal review and approval process. The project has gone through a series of phases. We are now in the last phase, phase four, the adoption hearing. There have been opportunities along the way to work with the commission and for public comment, and we have incorporated those recommendations as we've revised drafts over the past few months. The document is organized into six chapters and an appendix, and they address different kinds of design topics that the commission has encountered over the years and or that are anticipated to arise in the future. And there is an introduction, which will, I'll show just a representative page from each chapter because there is quite a bit of detail. But there is an introduction that explains the basic organization and structure of the document, a chapter dealing with the treatment of historic buildings, and of course that is a major section of the document, one dealing with infrastructure, sidewalks, open space, et cetera, one for new construction, infill within the historic district, and then a catch-all for some guidance that would apply to a variety of project types, and then finally for signs. The document itself is pretty extensive, but no single project will be using all of the chapters. And this chart helps to illustrate which chapters typically will apply for a specific project. Now, in some cases, there may be a blend of some of these. Someone might be doing some new construction as well as a rehabilitation or some signage work, et cetera. But in general, this is a tool that staff and the board can use and that applicants can use to identify which section will be relevant to a particular work project.
Ignoring?
Yes, sir.
Are there slides that are advancing? Because we're only seeing, we're on the second page on the introduction slide on our screen.
Oh, there must be a real delay. Okay. Are you seeing the table of contents slide now?
No.
Did you hit share screen? Excuse me, did you hit share screen?
Let's go back. Yeah, I should be sharing. Let's just see what's happened here. But it did advance one slide, did it?
Just one.
Huh.
What we can do is we can switch over to our the one that we have on thumb drive.
Yeah.
We can roll with this. Okay. Sorry, pardon for the inconvenience, guys.
Yeah, I don't know if we've just got a real slow connection or something.
So I'm going to go ahead and move to the YHAB design guidelines. Which slide would you like me to start from? I'm on design guidelines, YHAB design guidelines, then project schedule. I can go to start with the table of contents, and we can continue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So the table of contents, as I just mentioned, is organized in these chapters dealing with different design topics. the next slide, Ruben, is the matrix that applicants would use in identifying which of those chapters would apply to their project.
Got it.
And then the next one is of the district boundary to remind everyone where it applies. There are actually two different boundaries. One is the official local district boundary, and then there is a national registered district, which is slightly larger. But at the moment, this would be applying to the locally designated boundary, as you see it here on this slide. The next slide is one that explains the way in which a typical guideline topic would be organized, and that is there's a topic in here identified by the letter A and an intent statement identified by the letter B. The specific guideline, which is generally written in the affirmative, and that's identified as item C here. In this example, it's 2.1. That's numbered for easy reference for staff to use and or for the commission to use in making its findings in the resolution. And then supplementary information about how to meet that guideline or what would be inappropriate is in item D, and then an illustration. The intent is that, in general, most of the time, you will be working at the guideline level, item C. But if someone comes in with a new idea that isn't specifically addressed, you would move up and use the intent statement. The idea here is that there's a degree of predictability, that people can understand what is anticipated, and yet there is a degree of flexibility to accommodate new ideas that could still meet the objectives of the design guidelines. The next slide is on the treatment of historic buildings. And this one just is an example of our use of a variety of illustration techniques, as well as grayed boxes for introducing some principles that are outside that numbering system of the specific design guidelines. And this is where some of the information and material comes in addition to the guidelines themselves. The next slide is an example of one of the design topics in the chapter related to historic buildings, 2.9, relating to the repair and of damaged architectural details. And throughout the document, the Secretary of Interior's concept of preserving the original in good shape is always the first step. Repairing it if it's deteriorated is the second step, and replacing it in an appropriate manner is the subsequent step. And that concept is illustrated in a variety of the guidelines throughout the rehabilitation chapter. So people will become familiar with that consistency of policy. And I guess I meant to say earlier that all of the guidelines that you see here really build on the policies that you've been using over the past few years and that are based on the Secretary's standards, but they're amplifying and explaining them to make it easier for the public to understand. Moving on, another example of a key topic that we addressed is that for additions and illustrating different ways that those can occur. That's going to be a particular issue in the Old City Hall Historic District because of the topography and the way in which people might overlook buildings and roofs. The next slide is in the chapter related to infrastructure and open space, and addresses sidewalks as well as other kinds of open spaces are in this chapter. And, of course, in the whole City Hall District, there's some very specific and special public realm features that are included in this chapter. The next slide, there are a couple of slides that are going to be examples out of a new construction chapter. And one of the particular ones that we focused on is variation of massing of a potentially larger single building, because there are a couple of sites where that might occur in the future. And whereas traditionally infill buildings have been smaller, the concept of articulating or varying the massing and the architectural details of a larger building to help it fit into the distance is illustrated here, and then also on the next page, where some diagrams help to convey the rhythm and alignment of architectural features that occur historically in the district. And then there's a slide of the representative page from the Guidelines for All Projects. And that, again, has some example here from the outdoor use areas. Now, this is a contemporary use in some cases, outdoor dining areas and the have now emerged in the district. And so the guidelines are addressing some of these newer adaptive reuse concepts for the streetscapes, if you will. And then last chapter is represented by a page on the guidelines for signs. Now, these do not replace sign code regulations. They talk more about the character and the placement of signs, but don't address the prescriptive limits in terms of number or square footage, et cetera. And then finally, just a representation from the appendix, which goes into more detail for preservation theory to help those who really want to understand the thinking behind the guidelines. This appendix provides more detailed information. So that is a quick overview of the document. Obviously, there's much more material in it, but I think this gives you at a high level an understanding the organization and the way it's intended to be used. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Thank you for the presentation. I'm going to ask if the commission has any questions. Questions hearing none, I'm going to open up for public comment. I'm not sure if everyone had a chance to sign in to the sheet or not. Well, if we can have an orderly way of going through, I guess we don't need to sign in.
Just so, yeah. If you want to comment, you can state your name on that for the record, and if you have anything to say, go ahead.
Does anyone have any comments?
Question.
It's not considered a comment, but you can ask a question.
Yep. It looked like they were proposing to build on the side of it. Is that what this is all about, to add to it?
Are you talking about Old City Hall buildings?
Yes.
That's why we're here today.
These are just guidelines for the district, so the design guidelines. Yeah, yeah, it's not specifically about any one site.
Okay.
I think that the slide that you're referencing was giving an example of a place in the district that's empty right now and the kind of appropriate ways that you might have to fill there.
That's
trying to
represent. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, so there's no specific plan that's in this.
Yeah, anybody else?
So the guidelines that are before the commission now and the subject of this public hearing are new. The district is old. Been around since 1975 or 1974, but there haven't been any specific guidelines for how to do construction or alteration within this district ever adopted. And so we're required to by law, it's been a funding issue and so forth. And so now we're finally getting to that point where we're putting something forward.
Oh, I heard. Thank you.
Yeah, I would
like to have a few records. Comment that came in by email to the distributor of information. That's when any of those are going to be placed. No other comments. Close the public hearing to the City Hall Spirit.
You still there, Maury?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
discussion. We'll move on to other regularly scheduled business. We have nominations to the Tacoma Register, a preliminary review of 413 South M Street, the Alvin and Annal and the McIlvain House. It's Timothy Farrell. Yeah.
I assisted Mr. Farrell with his nomination, so I can present it in his absence.
Okay, and I will ask for a staff report.
Thank you. The property on today's agenda is nominated to Tacoma Register of Historic Places. A Tacoma Register listing follows procedures defined in 1307.050 and consists of a minimum of two separate commission meetings. The initial meeting determines whether the property meets the threshold criteria in the ordinance for age and integrity. If the commission finds that the age and integrity standards are met, then the commission may move to have a nomination scheduled for public hearing and comment period, at which the public may enter comments into the record for consideration. Following the comment period, the commission may deliberate on the nomination for up to 45 days before recommending to City Council, listing on the register, or denying the nomination. The purpose of this review is to determine whether the nominated property meets the threshold criteria and should be scheduled for public testimony at a public hearing. This is 413 South M Street, the Alvin and Anna McIlvain House. I'm saying that correctly, if anyone knows.
McIlvain.
McIlvain. Built in 1892 by Alvin C. McIlvain, this Queen Anne pre-classical home is one of the oldest properties in the Wedge District National Register, Historic District, and the Tacoma Register of Historic Places, Wedge Neighborhood District, Conservation District, a lot of districts. As such, it is nominated under Criterion B for its association with the McIlvains, and Criteria E and F as an established and familiar visual feature within an existing historic district. The nomination includes a two-story carriage house at the rear of the property. Alvin C. McIlvain moved to Tacoma in 1890 and made his living as a mason, plasterer, and contractor. His work was highly sought out in Tacoma, and he was known as a successful businessman. One of his contributions to the Tacoma Hilltop community is the McIlvain Apartments at 920 South 9th Street, which is a multi-story masonry building currently listed on the Washington Heritage and National Registers. McIlvain also owned the properties adjacent to this house. When Alvin died in 1920, the ownership of the home passed to his widow and daughters. In 1925, his eldest daughter, Edith, passed away, leaving two sons. Their surviving daughter, Myrtle, took in the two boys and raised them in the home. Myrtle remained in the home until her death in 1984. The McIlvain family provided much of the information for this nomination, which is submitted by the current owner who purchased the property in 2017. This property is nominated under the following criteria, B, E, and F. Requested action is determination of whether the property nominated to the Tacoma Register of Historic Places appears to meet the threshold criteria for nomination, and if so, scheduling the nomination for public hearing. The commission may forward all or part of the nomination for future consideration. I will not read all the effects of the nomination, but they are in the packet. Standards, threshold criteria for Tacoma Register listing are listed in 1307.04b and include, one, the property is at least 50 years old at the time of nomination, and two, the property retains integrity of location, design, setting, materials, workmanship, feeling, and association such that it is able to convey its historical, cultural, and architectural significance. And the staff analysis is at 127 years old, this meets the age threshold criteria. And two, this property retains a high degree of overall integrity. In the early 1900s, the McIlvains updated the porch by replacing the turned columns with Tuscan columns. Later, a sun porch was added, the second floor balustrade was replaced, the kitchen chimney was removed, and the French doors were added to the second floor porch. The interior, although not part of this nomination, is also largely intact. Staff recommends moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have... Commissioner ex officio.
Can we see the? Are we in the?
Switch back.
The packet. You can scroll down to the. No, too far.
Oops. There you go. Get close.
So. This house is located in the what is now the conservation district of the Wedge City Historic District, and that consists largely of the east side. Go back to the older picture of the house first, right here. Stop. And that largely consists of the east side of South M Street along the border of the Wedge Historic District. So this is one of those houses. This picture is from 1896, I believe. Just a couple of things to note. One is that you can actually see the stable in the back of the house there. The house that currently sits in the empty lot that you see here is obviously not been built. And this house and this picture was taken before the turned columns on the front porch were replaced with Tuscan columns. When they built the house next door, the family story goes, they liked the Tuscan columns, so they replaced them at that time. And could you scroll down just a little bit so you see the top of the house here? So I just want to point out here this really elaborate main gable decoration and then also the secondary gable decoration here, which are quite unique. And now if you go down to the next, not the next picture, but the following picture, this is the house today. Keep going. From sort of the other side. And so you can still see that decoration more clearly. You can also see the French doors that replaced a window in the original house there. And then if we go down a little bit further, you can see the Tuscan columns that came in 1910, 1915, I think. Then if we keep going down, this is the south facade, the cross gable there with still retains the decorative corner brackets and so on. And then keep going down. This is the rear of the house. The sleeping porch was added at a later date. I can't recall right now exactly when. If you scroll down a little bit further, you can see the turned columns on the back porch here. And these are the same design columns that were on the front porch originally. So these replicate that. And the balustrade here is original as well. It's very surprising to find all of these details. Let's go down a little bit more. This is a little close-up of the turned columns. And keep going down. And then we have the stable, which is in large disrepair right now, but nonetheless is, and this is the rear of the stable. The stable entrance, which would have been right below where Tim's feet are hanging, was closed up in the 20s when the daughters bought a car. And you can just barely see the automobile garage door at the end behind the shrubbery there. And it is the owner's intention to restore the carriage doors at a later date. That's all I have to say.
Is that an original pulley? I don't know what you'd call it, but the pulley timber that's up there above the kind of hayloft where he's sitting?
Excuse me? Say, what are you talking about?
The timber that's coming out from the gable.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, 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 absolutely. That's the... That's
hoist.
The hay pulley.
Hoist.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Are there any comments or questions from the commission?
Well, I think it's a pretty neat house. Having survived for so long without major changes, and it says in here it was only painted 3 times. In its whole life, that's hard
according
to believe.
To the family.
Because I know my house, about the same age, has been painted dozens of times. So this is real unusual.
And also, I should add, too, the interior. There have only been, since the original owners, there have only been 3 other owners given the current owner. And the interior is in remarkable condition, though I didn't include any pictures of it, except for they have a cooling cabinet in the kitchen, which I thought was just so cool because I've never seen one with the slots still remaining where the ice man could come in and slip in the ice at the top and the bottom.
And so, is that fenestrated now, or is it just a screen across there?
It's just a screen across it now. But
does it have slats? Yeah. Slats in the shoals?
Yeah. Anyway, so very cool house.
Comments, questions?
And here's the owner.
Hi. Sorry about that. Traffic from Tumwater.
We had a wonderful presentation from ex officio Commissioner McClintock here. Is there anything you'd like to add, even though you're coming in completely not knowing what we've done?
Do you have any questions?
That's
got a fascinating history, so.
That's where we were with questions and comments. We didn't have many forthcoming. I just comment that I think it's great to have the carriage house and the house together. I mean, I think it's something that you see in other places in Tacoma in these older homes, you know, and they've rarely, I think, survived in probably an attack like this. So it's really nice to have that combination.
It was it was altered. I believe that was in the application. It was altered in around 1915 because the family shifted from carriages to actual cars. They preferred Rios, and the only way to get a Rio into the building was to basically tear down the old stable, which was on the I believe that would be the south side of the carriage house, and build a garage door. My goal would be to close that off, reopen the original ghost, which you can barely see if you go up to it where the original door was, so it again would open back up. Correct. Underneath my feet, you can see here just a basic pattern where the original door was, and inside the rails still exist. So the goal would be to restore the rails and eventually do exactly what it originally intended to have it open out to the alley.
Are there photographs of the original?
There are no photographs that exist that we know of the original, unless it exists in context with the houses that used to exist behind that. The McElvays gathered all their information together. They gave me the original deed. They gave me a couple photographs of the interior, which I chose not to share because they were a funeral. There were no, outside of the photograph, which I believe is in there, showing the back, the back side of the carriage house. That's the only thing we have.
Excellent. There's no comments or questions from me.
Did you have to replace much of the original glass in the windows?
We replaced none of the original glass.
Wow.
We also replaced, at this moment, the house was purchased with sort of a deal that the person who lived there beforehand played a role in determining what would be done to it. And she sort of helped me manage the general contracting. So when we went in and put in new wiring and new plumbing, we were going in through the floors and through gently through the ceiling so we could leave the original wallpaper. The wallpaper dates from the 30s, and some of it dates probably back to the teens, the one that was inside the room on the second floor. There's a lot of loss on that wallpaper, and it has stains and everything, but it brings sort of a weird kind of, it just brings a sense of place to the house. So at the moment, we're going to leave that old wallpaper in place. Most of the floors were never actually varnished. They were just raw dug fir.
If there are no further comments or questions from the commission, is there perhaps a motion to be entertained?
I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission adopt the analysis as findings and schedule the 413 South M Street Alvin and Anna McKelvin House nomination for a public hearing and future consideration at the meeting of July 10th, 2019.
Fantastic. That's a motion by Commissioner Susser. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Commissioner Johnson. Is there any discussion on the motion that's put forward? Hearing none, I'm going to do a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you very much. We'll move on to our design review for the evening. We have two design reviews, one at 809 Pacific Avenue in the Old City Hall Historic District. Henry Walters.
Hi,
Henry.
Do you need the computer control at all?
No, we're doing the low-tech round.
All right.
Thank you.
It's going along with Old City Hall.
We actually
guidelines,
have additional. There is some supplemental information since we submitted that, so I printed you package.
Wonderful.
Would that be okay?
Thank you.
Pass those out, and as you're passing those out, do we have a...
No.
Is anybody going to give a staff report? Yeah. Okay. We have a staff report.
All right, thank you. Built in 1927, this is a contributing property in the Old City Hall Historic District, and we're talking about 809 Pacific Avenue. The new owners who are present here intend to renovate the approximately 12,000 square foot commercial building to contain a new tenant, the Plastic Pub. Plastic Pub is an indoor gaming venue featuring Washington crafted beers, food, and games, including mini golf and duffelboard, which I just learned about. The rehabilitation will include removing the non-historic canopy, signage, panels, lighting, and storefront. On the back, the non-historic signage, windows, doors, and lighting would also be removed. The historic brick and terracotta would be cleaned and repaired as needed. The building was originally a garage, and the owners would like to add an aluminum and glass paneled garage door using the configuration based on the original plans of historic photographs. They would also add a new aluminum storefront and wood windows. At the back of the building, a new door and windows would be added into the existing openings. The rooftop HVAC will be added during a future phase, as well new signage, lighting, and outdoor seating. We don't have designs for that yet. Action requested is approval of the above scope of work. Standards are the Secretary of the Interior Standards for the Rehabilitation of Historic Buildings, 2, 6, 9, and 10. Analysis is that this property is a contributing property in the Old City Hall Historic District. As such, it is subject to review by this commission for exterior modifications. 2, no historic materials or features are being removed. Historic brick and terracotta will be cleaned and repaired. 3, the new storefront, garage door, and windows will be based on historic photos and the original plans, which are included in the packet. The proposed new features are compatible with the existing historic material. 4, the new material could be removed without harming the central form and integrity of the historic building. Staff recommends approval of the application. Thank you.
Thank you. And before I hand it over to the applicant, I'm going to have to ask for the record what duffel board is.
That is a great question. Duffel board is kind of a cross between pinball and putting. I guess would be a good...
It's at counter height. So Sam, the owner of Plastic Pub, created it with the intention of you could hold your beer while you play. So you have a putter
that's
kind
important.
Of like, that you rest on the ground, and then the pole is about this long, and you push it to hit the ball,
and
then
one
you,
shot. Yeah.
You just get one shot.
Right. Oh.
So
and it goes into
it
a hole.
It goes through. Yeah, you score based on your proximity to a pin.
Right. A pin. Okay.
Yeah, there's all kinds of hazards and just like on a golf course.
It's something for us to look forward to.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll hand it over to you.
Hi. Thank you, commissioners. My name is Henry Walters. I own Atelier Drone Architecture and Design. With me is Matt Heron, one of the partners of 47 North Development, the applicant and the owner of the property. Would it be helpful? Basically, I put together a cover letter. If we just kind of did a page turn together, is that
mm-hmm.
the most helpful? Okay. So you got a little bit of background on the history of the building. The cover letter it's got some attachments that are marked in red. You'll find corresponding numbers written in red on the attachments, and we'll refer to those during the course of our presentation. So I'll start with, you've got big picture and project orientation. I'll start with analysis of existing building conditions, and I refer you to attachment B, which is the historic and existing photos of the building exterior. One, the existing exterior building materials consist of load-bearing, unreinforced brick, original terracotta cladding or ornamentation, and non-original windows, doors, canopy, lighting, and signage. So by non-original, what I mean is that there was a storefront system put in, who knows when, I'm gonna go and guess in the 50s, but I don't know that we know for sure. along the entire front of the building. The existing windows were boarded up, and basically what you're looking at on the second sheet of the B section is painted green plywood over existing windows, window openings. The windows are gone. There's also, you'll notice a canopy that's non-original, a blade sign, some light fixtures. The ornamentation, though, on the terracotta ornamentation appears to be intact. It looks really nice. And the third page in, you get a really nice front shot. Now we're going to look at the back of the building. Back of the building, you'll notice in the next, in the existing drawings, that the back building had a big set of wood carriage doors, basically, is what it looked like, with some windows on the top, and then windows on the bottom that have since been filled in. So it's got some non-original signage that we want to remove, some non-original lighting. Unfortunately, there's no photographs of the back of the building that we were able to find. Proceeding through, you get sort of a pedestrian view of the front of the building. Notice that this existing steel canopy, they basically just saw cut the terracotta pilasters. So there will be some repair there to restore that to the original condition. It's the storefront you're looking at is essentially just an anodized aluminum system, nothing special. Just for context, I have some interior shots. We're not really talking about anything interior tonight, but you see that it started life as a parking garage.
Yeah, it should be note that we are doing a full tax credit project through the National Park Service.
So that's part of the reason why I issued a supplement to what I submitted, because we had some late-breaking non-official comments from the state about, you should think about this, you should think about this. One of those comments was steel windows rather than wood. So what I've included when we get to it is a spec for Arcadia steel windows. If we proceed through the photos, you'll see a non-original spiral stair, and then a view. The last couple sheets, the first one is a view of those blocked-in windows. So imagine those open with nice period windows, getting some nice light in for the space. You've got a beautiful vaulted ceiling in there. And then again, the windows on the back of the building. So that's existing context. I think I've talked through the analysis of existing conditions. Summary of a general design intent. So the new owners of 809 Pacific, Matt, with 47 North Development, they want to renovate the approximately 12,000 square foot commercial building to contain a new tenant that we're really excited about. It's actually a client of mine in Seattle, a plastic pub owned by Sam Largent. Really great guy. He's done really well, and he's got a really great concept. Indoor gaming, so essentially it's mini golf, and then he invents these other games like Duffelboard. It features 32 Washington-only brewed beers, which is nice. And then also we've teamed with Chef Ethan Stoll, who's another client of mine. He's a locally known, nationally known Pacific Northwest chef. So Ethan Stoll runs his food court, so just a little bit more context there. So in our first, we had a Chris Middle conference back in September, where it was revealed that substantial alteration would be triggered for this project because it's a change of occupancy to an assembly use. So that triggers a number of things that we're addressing today: some structural upgrades, energy, accessibility, and life safety upgrades. So that's primarily what we're talking about today, are some of those things, and then also bringing some windows back. So the next section on page two, I really sort of broke down in a table what we're removing, what we're repairing, what we're adding, and what we're not talking about today. And then again, the numbers are on the side for reference. So if we're to look at the photos, the front facade is the west facade. We have the non-original canopy, we talked about that, downspouts, non-original blade signage, storefront system, wood infill panels on the upper floors. On the back side, we're removing signage, this non-original exit door, non-original upper floor windows, non-original lighting, and non-original downspouts. That's what we're removing. And then what we're repairing on the front is we're going to clean and tuck the brick as necessary. Obviously, we'll patch and repair the terracotta details where the canopy slices through those now. We are on the backside. We're repairing again the brick, cleaning and retuck as needed. And on the north facade is the side to the, well, in the photo I'll point to it. It's a side here. It's still visible. It's not off the front or the back. But we'll just repair the brick there as well. And I think there's some graffiti on that wall that we need to that you can see right there. So generally, maintaining ornamentation, cleaning the brick, retucking as necessary. And then talking about adding new section E and G. So E, I think you've been looking at our proposed drawings. I included the floor plan just for a little bit of context and also to illustrate where we're putting some brace frames. So on the front elevation, we're replacing the storefront window and door system with an anodized aluminum architectural bronze.
Want to go back?
Yeah, go back to 3, 2, or 3. There you go. That's a good place to start right there, yeah. So that's the upper floor. Maybe we could go down to the lower floor for just a minute. So it should be maybe one up. There we go. So we're talking on the left side of the drawing. On the upper bay, we would be replacing a storefront system. New configuration, the existing configuration, as you saw in the previous attachment, is at an angle. It's not original. We propose to bring it back to closer to the historic condition. Now we have a condition where current code says that in when you have more than 49 occupants, exit doors need to swing out, and you're also not allowed to swing out over a property line. So that forces us to create a recessed area for the front doors, so they're swinging out, not over the property line. So that's the idea behind that. But that, if you'll notice on the elevation, that the columns for that align as they did before and as they do upstairs with the existing column line. So we're working with the existing geometry. And then on the south bay, on the north, on this elevation, what was there originally was a wood and glass bifold door system for cars to drive in and out of. We're proposing something that's a little more useful for us, and it's a roll-up glass and metal garage door, as you see in the elevation. And that would allow really the activity of the space to spill out to a future sidewalk seating. It would allow the smells of Ethan Stoll's cooking to drift out into the street. And I think it really connects into the neighborhood better than just a closed off building. So that's the thought there. And the nice thing is that we're kind of replicating the original design of the building with a garage door on the south side that completely opens, and then storefront on the north, in the north bay. So some supplemental information from when I originally submitted this, we got some feedback unofficially from the state that says, you know, you guys should probably think about reintroducing the bulkhead at the bottom of the storefront. Currently, or what photos show is approximately a 12-inch high bulkhead with tile. So the additional elevation that I included in tonight's packet shows a bulkhead as well. In this case, we're showing something that comes up to 18 inches because that also addresses another code that says any glazing under 18 inches needs to be a more expensive safety glazing so that if you kick it, it doesn't shatter and hurt you. So this is what we're proposing for feedback is this bulkhead with, and then the tile would be, you know, we don't have the benefit of color photographs of the building, but we're guessing that the tile color was similar to the terracotta color. So that would be what we're proposing there.
Is that the, on your drawing, is that the size that you're proposing?
Mm-hmm. I think
is that just
that was maybe a little bit smaller. Yeah, that was a fill pattern that we need to adjust, but we should show the same size as existing.
Okay.
And again, we don't know what that size is, but we can infer
it looks
probably
like
a 6x4. 4x4, 6x6 tile.
And so it needs to go up. The tile in the historic photographs are about what dimension?
We're guessing about a foot, eight inches to a foot off of the sidewalk.
Okay, and so you're going to go up another, what, about 8 inches from that?
Yeah, what we're proposing is a total of 18 inches because that allows us to not have to put in safety glaze. And we don't want to have to do a whole entire window mullion, window pane and safety glazing, sure. Because that's what was the historic.
And that was the suggestion of the state.
The state, that's correct. 18 inches. They recommended, I don't know if 18 was the... We saw that as an opportunity, a code opportunity. 18 is a significant height for code. We could certainly match what was originally built with approximately 12 inches too.
What's the, out of curiosity, what's the price difference between the tempered and non-tempered for that one?
No, we haven't had a builder do a detailed cost estimate for the project yet, so I don't have the answer to that right now.
Generally, it's not very much for like residential windows. It's really nominal when you're looking at the cost of the whole window package. So I think it'd be good to know
sure. If
it really is worth making this design gesture if it's a big enough difference to bend to the code. Because the code will allow you to have taller windows. You just have to have the safety glazing.
That's right. But yeah, you're definitely looking for some input. Some other features that we're adding, we talked about the garage doors. We're introducing two new steel brace frames. They're not technically on the exterior of the building, but they could be seen. That one of them is about 16 feet away from the front window. So just for transparency, I thought we would include that in our scope work. We're having Swenson Safe Ajay, be our structural engineer. They're working on that right now.
Can I go back just a second?
Sure.
You mentioned that the new alcove entrance would mirror the old existing structure.
Yes.
Are you talking about that it's going to take up this bay now?
That's right.
So it's not as they designed it originally, but in that
the same module
same
or
module.
The bay we're taking. You're right. The door was originally on the left. We're showing it on the right, but it's the same. It's occupying the same the same module as
okay.
as it goes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Another thing to note is my drawings show new rosettes on the building. That was another late-breaking comment from the state. Unofficially, they recommend something that is more of an epoxy connection that is not visible. So we've checked with our engineer, and they confirmed that that's possible. So you would not see rosettes on the building. Rosettes are not original to the building. Something else we're adding is the upper windows. I think in my original packet, we were proposing wood windows. We've actually gotten feedback that steel would be more appropriate. And I got some good comments coaching from Ruben, who suggested that it's very important that we maintain the profile of those windows. These windows are essentially a flat plane of glass with mullions, and the center, as you'll see in the historic, the center pivots out. That's a really difficult kind of window to find these days. So our intent would be for these to be fixed windows or windows where the entire thing tilts out. It's not like a double hung, single hung relationship where one plane of glass is pushed out farther than another plane of glass. So what you would see is a grid, a 4x4 grid, all the glass in the same plane. And we have yet to design our HVAC system. So I think some preference is to coordinate whether the windows operate with our mechanical engineer, but that's basically our intent right now. And I showed a section G has got a cut sheet on our KBS steel windows. Mm-hmm. I confirmed that. Really quickly here, I'm kind of long-winded, I'm sorry. On the backside, we need to replace the existing door with a door that swings out, again, for code. And in order to do that, just like the front, we have to, since the building is up against the property line, we have to create a recess in plan that allows doors to swing out and not over the sidewalk, opening the city to potential lawsuits. We don't want that. But that tends to work really well with an enclosure that we are proposing for some existing electrical panels. So I feel that addresses that really well.
A question about the backside.
Yes.
The flow sign that you talked about, so obviously it's not original to the original purpose of the building. I'm wondering, kind of two questions. One is why you're removing it. Two, what its fate's going to be if you do remove it.
Family has requested it back.
Okay.
So the family that owned the...
Sure. Whatever the florist company. Yeah.
The family that owned the building or the...
That owned the florist.
Oh, the florist.
Gucci or...
Gucci.
So attachment, I just wanted to refer you to attachment C, the first page. This is an architect by the name of Silas. I love this. His name was Silas. What a great name for that time period. He did a very small elevation of the back, and this is really the only record that we have of what the back looked like. Originally, there was what appears to be a bifold or carriage door in the center. That was since partly bricked in, and then just a pretty standard door added. And then you can see in our elevation that there were two windows on each side that were bricked in. We're proposing to leave those bricked in, but replace the windows on the top, again, with the same Arcadia system that we're proposing for the front of the building.
So what's the architect's name?
His name is Silas Nelson.
Silas Nelson. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. One of Tacoma's great architects and mid-century modern, though this is a bit early for his work, but absolutely fantastic architect.
I really did enjoy looking at these drawings. Really a work of art. Okay, so, and then just for information, this additional new work, again, to be designed later, we will obviously need some rooftop equipment. We've had preliminary discussions with our mechanical designer. We know approximately that it'll go in the middle of the roof and it won't be visible from the street. So Ruben didn't see an issue with us doing anything more than describing it to you right now. That'll be a design build system like electrical and plumbing further in the process.
Are you retaining the skylight?
The skylights have been roofed over. We're actually going to replace those two and add two additional. In the roof is basically essentially broken up into six bays that are created by the 20-foot column spacing. So right now there's essentially roofed over skylights in bays 2 and 5. We would put one in each of the two center ones. So the 4 center roof truss bays would have skylights, and the 2 outboard ones that have the windows on either side would not.
So are the windows actual individual panes, divided lights? Or?
I think that is a good question. I think at the very minimum they can do a simulated divided light where you actually have a physical mullion on both sides of the glass. The glass may go through.
Right. I was looking for a mullion detail, but I don't see one in here. It'd be good to know if you can find it. The only thing I found that might be it, but I can't tell, is on...
You know, that's a good point. They show all the frame edge details, but not a mullion detail.
I'm just curious how, because one of the reasons we're going with steel, I'm sure the recommendation was because steel was typically a lot lighter of a frame around the glazing.
They're actually showing true divided lights, like real mullions with real separate beams of glass. This is on the
I'm
second.
On the Venetian. Yay.
That's the Victorious series.
Okay. But there's several series in here. There is a what looks like a divided light mullion on the Venetian series as well.
This was a general recommendation from Arcadia of lines and windows that should work. It's looking to me like something like a Victoria series or something something with an actual mullion. Is that what I'm hearing from commissioners? That's preferred.
That would be preferred, but also I'd want to know what the dimension is in the mullion, because those things get too wide with them not having any articulation on them at all, and it's kind of a giveaway that is super modern.
These look, I know what you mean, that it almost just looks like a plastic grid on the front.
Right.
These have some pretty significant.
Oh, yeah. I'm not on that page still. Let me catch up.
Yeah.
change of topic. Not that this is any of our business, but I don't see how the restrooms are separated.
It's a all gender restroom.
Is it really?
Welcome to the 21st.
That's the first one in Tacoma, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It's not.
Oh. It might be the first in a space like this. But
I think things are a little still under development on the interior, as you can imagine, but we wanted to give you at least the sense of a general space plan going on.
Okay.
If you're ever up in Seattle, you can go to Optimism Brewing, and they have an all-gender restroom.
So does the Starbucks Roastery,
yep.
Right? The Starbucks has that roastery.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So just like at home.
Your stalls
just
go all
like
way
at home.
Yep, so the doors will go all the way to the floor. And we propose is pulling in the walls even maybe a little bit for the urinal section over to the left,
just so it's a little less
visible.
Why do
we even have to have urinals
right
anymore?
They're always a mess.
So women don't have to wait for the stalls when
men
are using them.
You just do it like the Parisian ones where it's an automatic thing. It flips up and washes the thing and then goes back
right
down.
But we digress.
Sorry.
We can always revisit the design guidelines.
I just want to close up our new work. We are electing to provide an elevator to the building, which will provide full ADA accessibility to the entire building. The impact of that, we will not see an elevator penthouse on the roof because we have the ceiling height to accommodate that inside of our ceiling.
The overrun, too?
That's right.
And we also, you know, that section where the spiral stair, that used to be the ramping up for the car. So the next, like, I think it's 2 bays, so 40 feet about, is wood infill already in the concrete section. So when the elevator goes in there, it's not going to affect the structural, you know, tearing in because that's already wood infill.
Just to close the loop on the submittal, what we're not proposing today is new exterior signage, new exterior lighting, new sidewalks, and anything like that. That would be under separate future submittal. And with that, I'm done with my presentation. Ready to take questions.
Thank you.
Good.
I will open it up to questions and comments. I ask one question first. So have you been following our previous presentation about the old City Hall?
Yes. Okay. That was... Honestly, I've done a few of these, and that's probably the nicest format I've ever seen.
Did you use them in what's before the commission now? Or
we did not.
Okay. Yeah. You don't have to. I was just seeing if you were taking.
Could I ask you a question about why is this in the packet? Where does this thing live? Is this part of yours or no?
Sure. We wanted to provide some more information. In are you looking at the one that was issued to the commission members before today? I provided something that was a little more concise on the doors. You got the entire package. This is actually the pages out of that package that show our design intent. It would be an anodized aluminum frame with glass panels and it would roll up like a garage door.
And where does that live on the building?
That lives right on the
lower right.
Okay.
Right where the garage entry for the cars is.
Gotcha. Thanks.
And rather than being like a you know, blonde oak colored wood like on the photo, it would be kind of matching the steel windows, a dark bronze or something.
There's a dark bronze, architectural bronze, a very pretty typical anodized finish on that second sheet. That's, by the way, that's what we would be proposing for all of our window systems.
I'd like to see samples of the door as well as the windows, just mostly for color, and also if they can give you a mock-up of how that, to her point about, the, you know, whether it's true divided light or,
Are there other comments or questions? I had a couple. So given the extensive work you're doing to kind of trace back and look at the historic research, I just had a couple questions kind of related to that in terms of the doors for the entry bay. So the rear door, I noticed on the architectural drawing, seemed just to be I mean, you're talking about windows, but maybe I misread the drawing, and it seemed to just be stable doors in that opening. Is that
basically, yeah, it appears to be a wood and glass stable door, maybe glass on the upper portion.
Of this door, I see.
Yes. So
is there a reason why you wouldn't, I guess, and I know you don't probably want stable doors, but, you know, keeping the kind of closed, it changes the opening, I guess, with what's proposed here with the doors and then with having a light on top of the doors rather than, and the two closed sides.
I guess maybe one thought is that the opening itself is already different from the existing, because those doors were essentially just right on the plane with that outside of the building. Now we've got a 3-foot recess. We've got, by code, we have to have a couple of 36-inch wide doors. We're creating this recess, so it might be a challenge to try to match that the look of that with, under those conditions.
Okay. I was just, the leaving of the brick, I guess. Is that going to be an actual entry, or is that going to be an emergency?
It would not be probably something that they have access all the time, is my guess. But I know that Sam had talked about the possibility of periodically, you know, applying for a street closure permit and doing, like, outdoor, you know, roll the duffel board into the, you know, like, activate the street and the ability to have that flow. We can ask him if they plan to have that be
the access isn't something we cover. I was just wondering because I don't know if any other commissioners had any thoughts about that. I mean, that was just one of the things given the amount of work that you're putting into this building to kind of bring it back to what we see in the architectural drawings and that portion of it just stood out to me, I guess, as being something quite different than what was originally presented. I mean, I know you can't replicate stable doors, but the look here is much more, I would say, kind of a almost 1950s storefront, you know, type of look to that was the only, I don't know, throw it up to other commissioners who have more architectural sense than I. But hearing none, then.
Well, it would be nice to remove the infill brick and make use of that full width, if that was possible. Even if we couldn't actually match the style of the doors, to get rid of some of the previous infill brick, go back to the original opening. So
are you talking about that?
Yeah, on the back.
Mm-hmm. We do have a small we do have a challenge, potential
issue.
Challenge with programming the interior. We may not have the room to actually open that entire existing building. There's some electrical panels now.
Yeah, there's a huge electrical paneling to the left of the door if you're looking out towards the alley.
Also, we've got to have a kitchen in this back corner that actually functions and has the correct clearances around it. So,
and as part of the National Park Service, since it's the non-primary side, they basically didn't even. We thought that the effect of, if we're going to spend money on the back of the building, we'd rather spend it on the steel windows up above, which will create a really nice, you know, environment there than on a door that we can't even, you know, I would love to have a cool old carriage door that swings out over the, you know, alley, but if we have to pull that all in and then, you know, you're spending a ton of money for something that isn't. Seen that much.
Yeah.
So that is just a thought in terms of this. And then the other thought was on the front facade. And again, and it's only because I think you've done such a great job at kind of doing your research on this, is that was there a particular reason to because even with this, you were talking about how you were keeping the spacing of the bays on that front facade opposite the garage door. Is there a reason to flip that door? That you wouldn't keep the original kind of location of that front door.
Programmatically, you want to have the majority of the people entering the building kind of in the center of the whole facade, so that you're not shoving all of the exiting along the side of the wall right into where the brace frame needs to go.
Yep. We in terms of sort of a diagram, you know, we're kind of double loading this circulation. circulation where this becomes something that isn't circulation and this becomes an activity area. And if we're putting, if we're moving our circulation over here, then we're creating a lot more circulation.
That's where we're going to be standing waiting to be seated.
Right.
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 Okay. I wanted to at least recognize what they've done and tweak it a little bit for our needs.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions from the commission?
Well, I would just like to say I really appreciate your efforts at restoring the front facade and the terracotta and putting steel windows back in. That's a big plus for the whole district.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank you. And I've heard a few comments from commissioners as we've been going forward about looking at samples or seeing samples. So I'm not sure what that means in terms of a motion. This is before us for review this evening. So.
Can I interject for a minute? Originally, my understanding was that tonight would be one of two meetings.
Oh, so you just want feedback from us?
Well, originally that was my understanding, so that's why I didn't bring those. But then we found out pretty late in the game that this was going to be sort of a let's get it all done in one meeting thing. So we have to order those samples. They, you know, they take weeks to get there. So I can certainly follow up with the commission and provide those. Whether you want me to drop them off at the office. Your offices or send you photos?
We have, I guess there's several options before the commission. I mean, we could move forward with a motion to approve with a staff review, or if the commission actually wanted to see those, I mean, there's deferral as well as one of the motions that could be made.
I'd be happy for staff review.
So just keeping that in mind, is there a motion to be entertained?
Okay, I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission approve the design amendment for 809 Pacific Avenue as submitted, pending submission also of the samples requested by commissioners.
Fantastic. Motion by Commissioner Slessor. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Sundstrom. Is there any discussion on the motion? I'll just say that just clarifying that those are for staff review, the sample submitted.
No, I think we're looking for a verification of their actual individual panes.
Yeah, what I have here is a window detail for confirming true divided light, or
yeah.
And so this is true divided light, not a divided light with a spacer, shadow spacer.
Right.
And then detail of the garage door material, I think, right. Was one. And then I also have my notes that there was a request for some information about the cost differential for tempered glass for the storefront window, and if that's a significant difference or cost delta, I guess I'd say.
Yeah. And I would say that for the mullions, as long as we're not getting in the neighborhood of 2 inches wide, you know, if we're in the neighborhood of 1.25 or 1.5, it should be fine. And once it starts getting wider than that, it doesn't look historic.
And also, staff could review the samples in terms of relationship of color. You know, whether or not the bronzes are, because it's two different manufacturers, right?
So you'd like to see bronze from all three, actually.
Oh, it's three. Oh, yeah.
The storefront, the garage door, and the upper one.
Yes.
Upper one.
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
The one other thing I think I heard was about the, what do we call it, on the front facade, the raised area on
the bulkhead
on the front facade, that what was shown to the commission was just really a mock-up in what you were, I guess, for kind of final confirmation that you're, it sounded like, going to replicate the tiling that's shown in there, even though you may have to add additional ones to get the 18 inches of height. I think I heard the commission says that as well. Okay.
So in terms of logistics of moving forward, if I were to deliver these physical samples to Ruben and then follow up with an email address your other questions,
if the commission is comfortable with this guidance I'm getting, we'll be able to make a determination about whether or not you're within the scope of what's been defined here by the commission. And if so, then we'll be fine. We won't do any other formal review. If there's significant departures, then we bring it back to the commission. But that's usually what we do anyways. When commercial projects are always somewhat complex, and so there's things that just happen during the design development process, you know, after approval, that sometimes we'll bring back just an individual.
Is the building department going to look for the dimension to your actual glazing, or are they going to look to the whole unit? Because you might be able to cheat it down if you're going to take it to the glazing.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Move
it just
the
needs
frame
to be
down.
18 inches to the glazing.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so that might put us really close to 12.
So with all that's been discussed here, are those all friendly to the motion that are before us?
Yes, thank you.
So if there's no further discussion on the motion before the commission, hearing none, we'll move to a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you so much.
Thank for everybody.
Good thank presentation.
You want all your paper back?
I'll recycle it if you
we'll need recycle it. We'll recycle it here.
Okay.
Appreciate all the detail that you provided to us. And
hopefully not too much.
Thank you so much.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Very thorough package.
I have gone to Flatstick in Pioneer Square. I should have probably revealed that prior once, so it was an interesting experience.
You should go
in live in downtown.
You should go to the big one that we just did last year in
South
Lake
Union.
And
South Lake Union. Okay. I drive by it.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Great.
We have another design review. This one is for 909 North Fishman in North Slope Historic District. Dave Alberts. Great. And for it. And do we have a staff report?
Thank you. Built in 1889, it's the contributing property in the North Slope Historic District. In May, a stop work order was issued for uncommitted repairs to the front porch. The applicant would now like approval for replacing the deteriorated wood front stairs with salvaged brick capped with limestone, repairing the porch siding in kind, replacing the columns with salvaged door columns, and adding a new iron handrail. The handrail is being custom forged. The back porch would also be repaired to look similar. Staff requested photos showing existing conditions, scope of proposed work, and proposed elevation, and the provided material has been included in the packet. Action requested is approval of the above scope of work. Standards are the North Slope Historic District Design Guidelines for exterior siding, materials, and porches. And analysis is that this property is a contributing structure in the North Slope Historic District, and as such is subject to review by this commission for exterior modifications. Two, the siding is being repaired in kind. Three, the porch is being repaired with historic salvage material that is similar to the original material and will have a minimal visual impact. Four, the house currently has both a wood and metal railing, and the metal railing is not original. And five, the existing wood stairs are being replaced with salvaged brick and limestone. Staff recommends approval of the application. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And Mr. Alberts, do you have anything to add to your application? You stuck with us for so long, I feel like you.
Like replacing some columns with light columns, and the stairs are going to be brick instead of wood and knobs.
What's the handrail? You said you're fabricating your notes. What's it going to be made out of?
Some iron.
Some iron?
Well, yeah, steel iron. Can't really be wrought iron.
And it's just the handrail. I mean, there's no, I don't even know what you call them,
balusters,
I guess. Yeah. Or is there?
At first, it's going to be a handrail.
So right now, you're proposing a handrail. Okay, because I actually think that's a great proposal. So.
Actual stair rail, not to the ceiling.
Okay.
Any comments, questions?
So I have a problem with one part of your proposal, and that's replacing the turned column that you see there on the porch with a Doric or Tuscan column. And one of the reasons why, in particular, I wanted to stay at that picture,
okay,
I could for a minute. Because if you look, there's actually a pilaster there attached to the wall, and it is a half of a replica of that turned column. Which suggests that those are original. And there's also one on the other side as well. And so I would like to see that retained if it's
That post is rotten. So
okay. Well,
it can't be saved.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that. But that's what needs to be replaced. And not a different style column, which is what you're proposing to do. It's great that you're using
salvage
material, you know, and so forth. Great. But on this porch, on the front, on this stick or spindle, Queen Anne, it would not have that, and certainly not with those pilasters there.
So where would I find that?
A good millwork shop should be able to replicate it. You might have some recommendation. If Seattle Millwork were still in business, you could probably go, and they probably had the knife that was used to create those columns. sadly, they're not in business anymore. But yeah, they
probably won't find that profile, but it's worth a look at Osborne, which is online. They have all kinds of brackets and columns and pins and gears and et cetera. You might find it there. It looks like it's got a longer area of turning there, so I'm not sure that you'll find it. But you would be able to find a local woodworker that can turn and replicate that. Or how far gone is it? Can you do rot arrester and repair on it instead?
I've got ant problems, so I mean it's rotten. The stairs are that whole front section. That's why that siding has to come out. And you can see it was leaking for years down that front. And that whole front corner is just rotten.
You could also contact Contour Woodworks. They're out of North Bend. They may be able to replicate that for you as well.
But other than that detail, I think the rest of the proposal is fine.
That's the reference to the going back to the North Slope Historic District guidelines, the guidelines for porches. Number one, the retain existing porches and porch details. The final line of that entry is missing or deteriorated details such as columns and railings should be repaired or replaced in kind. It's the guideline that the commissioners.
So would that not also reference then replacing wood stairs with brick?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
True.
Well, it wasn't though. Right there.
Oh, interesting.
So
yeah, but what we review is what's, you know.
I think one of the differences might be is at least from a staff interpretation is whether or not, you know, all features aren't the same, and so some are more character defining than others in terms of the architecture of a house, and so you know, we tend to view things that way. That's food for thought. Where are you looking? Right down here, yeah. Underneath there. Should I rotate this?
Oh, thanks.
So, just to the columns that are proposed came from one of the like Earthwise or Second Use or something like that.
Well, actually, they're my mother-in-law.
Okay.
Have you already replaced that corner post?
Yeah, but it was temporary. I was hoping to bring that brick because it's going to have a brick retaining wall for that stair. That's what happened with concrete, it was sliding away. So in the plan, you see I'm building a retaining wall to bring the stairs to, and I was kind of wanting to chase that brick up because in the back it's sitting on a brick pier, those columns on the back porch. Because it was there before, it was just a 4x4. It's not original.
Have you The post that was replaced there, do you still have the original post?
So it's gone.
But the pilasters on that are there have the profile. Mm-hmm. So it's there.
Any other discussion from the commission? Questions?
Was that one picture of the brick and limestone, that's what you're proposing that the brickwork would look like?
Yeah. That's a different
brick. What is this?
That's a sample of the stone for the treads. It's not, that's something that I built.
Okay.
I just thought I'd show it as an example of, I'm using the brick for the risers and the stone for the treads. And that's not the brick I'm using, but
okay.
That's similar.
Okay.
Because I have sequence of the walls and the slabs.
So, I mean, my issue is that brick can look 100 different ways. And so I would feel more comfortable if we could see the actual brick.
It's right there.
Is this from another side, or is it retrieved from this?
No, it's new bought from Mutual Materials, but it's a tumble called Old University. So they have, you're buying a new palette, but it's tumbled, it's made to look old. And it does. And those are just two sample bricks.
I personally have never seen a multicolored brick like that used as a base on this style of house. I'm not saying it doesn't exist anywhere, but I, in 20 years of practice, haven't seen that particular thing. So I'm just...
They often have purple.
They often do have more of a purple in the right.
which you can see does have some purple in that. Like I said, this is too brick. If you take a pallet and you lay a 1,000 brick, some of it is going to have that purple. Some of it is going to have more or less orange.
Right, so this is your batch sample. One has a very strong linear stripe of a beige color. The other has streaking of a beige color.
I chose those two because they were the most drastic. So in a blend, it would be more subtle.
Do we know if the wood stairs that were removed, if those are original to the house?
I don't think we do. It could have had, I mean, it could be the, you know, second or third set of steps to get them in the building.
Mm-hmm. Is it, were they resting on this concrete?
Or anchored to Simpson Strong Tie. Even the demo picture. And you were support marking. See the ties.
So, circling back to the handrail issue, were there originally balusters on that of what you tore down? The building department, of course, would want you to have balusters.
On the handrail up or on the
Well, on the stairs,
porch.
Where the stairs drop off.
Right.
Yeah. We don't review building code issues, but just mention that.
Well, I've personally believed that the limestone steps are so incongruent with the style of the house and the age of the house that I would prefer that you reinstall wooden stairs. Something that might have been there originally. Not trying to duplicate old stairs, but just the same sort of materials.
Well, I think there used to be brick stairs there because there was brick in the, when I dug it out, there was brick that I pulled up,
yeah.
And that the whole foundation
is brick.
The whole first floor is all brick.
Yeah.
So I'm positive it used to be brick stairs there.
When you say you dug it out, do you mean when you demolished the wooden stairs that were there?
Yeah.
And so are you saying that when you demolished those wooden stairs underneath it, there were brick stairs? Or are you saying that there was a foundation?
There was a brick foundation.
Okay, so.
So I was digging out. I can't see it there, but coming out this way, there's brick in the brick foundation.
I'm going to venture to say that if they were originally brick, they'd probably still be there. Because they would have survived better. And looking at the deferred maintenance on the home, I'm just guessing that they would have survived. Yeah. That it was not uncommon for brick to be used as a foundation material in this era, and they just used it liberally everywhere, shim things up, box mm-hmm. out for patios and
sewer lines.
Yeah. So I would agree. I would prefer a wood stair.
You've convinced me.
But I think going back to the guidelines, this would be, it falls within one, again, retain what's existing and try to repair it. But then three, if there's a conjecture, for the missing porches and designs that reflect the original design. So having documentary evidence for that, or unavailable new design, based on porches of houses of similar type and age. And I think that's what Commissioner Johnson was suggesting and saying that with the finishes on those, that those would not be congruent with a house of similar type and age.
So is there any type of wood stair I should be looking to focus there before? It's just 2x6s with a 2x4 handrail that just falls apart. Sort of style of stair.
Well, if that's not, so looking at the guidelines, if there's no existing photographic documentation for the building, and I'm assuming there's not.
Probably not showing the stair detail.
Yeah, but if there's not, then kind of working through the guidelines, if we can't retain that, we avoid things that are inappropriate, but then replace them with similar. So it would be finding, reading the guidelines, it would be finding a house of similar vintage and similar style, hopefully that has retained its original porch, and seeing what that would be. And then actually that would be the proposition to the commission, would be here's a house, similar style, and here's what it had, and this is what
the house directly next door was built exactly the same, 1890, same layout, same configuration. And his stairs are block concrete, and he has stone over
there. Well, this would be looking at appropriate to the period of the house. So I'm not sure if that is a later replacement to the house. So I mean,
if it's concrete block, that would be a later replacement.
We wouldn't be asking you to look at a house that's a similar vintage and then taking an element that's been replaced out of that. So we'd be trying to look for a porch detail which reflects what was likely or could have been an original porch to that structure.
You can also look at the field guide to American houses. That has a lot of really good, this goes with this style. These are what are typically mm-hmm. found for this vintage.
So I guess my question would be then, if I have to build this retaining wall, because the lot is severely sloping, whole story, which is why I had to take the old ones out, is because they're sliding and cracking. So I have to build a retaining wall there. It's 8 feet 8 from the base to the porch. How would I do that out of wood?
I'm not sure what your question is.
Well, I have to build a concrete. What I was using was block with a brick veneer, so you see brick and you see block, to make a retaining wall, because, like I said, I have to build soil to compact it to build what it was going to be, concrete stairs with an overlay.
If you have settling of the foundation, a retaining wall alone might not be enough to remedy that problem. So I don't.
It's not to do with the house.
Okay.
It's 22 feet from that point out to the sidewalk. And that's what I have to build up because of that soil that's on the right side of that.
And how high is this retaining wall?
Well, it was going to step with the stairs.
So in the plan, it went up 4'8", and then it flattens out 9 feet, and then it climbs a second. Right there's the original before it was going out. So it climbs up, then it flattens out, then it climbs up again. So I was going to make the retaining wall all of that same.
So you haven't presented that to the commission. I mean, it's not part of your application.
It was in the plan section. In the that would be the west elevation.
This one.
The west elevation.
Yeah. What he's talking about is this.
On the right was.
And that's retaining grade from the west
side.
Or from the east?
From the east side.
So is this all removed right here? All of this?
Yes.
So we had a set of concrete steps that went up here to then a concrete walk, and then the wood steps that sat on top of a brick right here. Is that correct?
The wood steps basically sat the base on the concrete, and then they were tied to the porch.
Right. So
the just sort of stringers hanging off of it. Yeah.
And so then you had a grade that went back like this underneath them.
Yes.
And why did you dig all that soil out?
So that I could.
Oh, well, so you could build your stairs out of the concrete.
So I have a retaining wall, so I'm not sliding down the slope. Support the back.
So when you say sliding down the slope, do you mean sliding toward the street or sliding toward your neighbor?
To your neighbor. The west.
To the west. Okay. Okay.
Because that flat area that was there before was buckled and cracking and sliding.
Yeah.
Because it had nothing to hold.
Well, I mean, if there's a need for a retaining wall there, then that could be done in reinforced concrete, which would go with the existing concrete steps. That's not going to be visible from the street anyway. So you can support the stair stringer with poured concrete.
On the west side of that to hide the concrete block and the stuff from the blocks.
So you'd face your new concrete retaining wall with brick.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would sort of tie into the house foundation, which is also brick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you go back to the photo that shows the brick foundation?
It's in there somewhere.
I'll get there.
Nope. There it is.
There it is.
So it
follows all the way along that whole west side.
The brick foundation. Can you find a brick that's a closer match to that? I mean, I know it's not going to be, you know, calcified like the old one is, but just something that is a little bit more blending with the existing.
They have a couple choices of that. The one I chose, I think there's a different one. So it's a different name of it, but it's more purple.
Well, a lot of masons have their own secret hordes of salvage brick. Okay, so you don't have anything closer.
We have pallets at the yard, but they're not going to match first of all. And not that any new brick is going to match, but second of all, it's a matter of having the volume of them. So we have a pallet here and a pallet there, but I can't guarantee that I have three pallets.
But it's quite a small expanse we're talking about, I think.
Well, that's going to do the back porch with that as well.
Oh, you are.
But it only goes yay high. It's only 14 inches high to support the limestone gate or else put it back there in the back.
Well, I mean, I would think that maybe you could use those ones that you had shown in the back where it doesn't show up at all. And maybe you could dig out some more of the more purpley, because it's that buff color that's kind of jarring. Mm-hmm. And so
would that work then if I could use that brick to chase stuff and all that little stuff?
Salvage brick?
Oh, using a similar brick to that?
I would like to see it more similar to that. And I wouldn't have a problem with it on the west side if it needs to be.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. If you want to face your retaining wall with brick on the west side for your neighbors, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah.
Then I don't think that's a problem at all. All we're concerned about is just the steps actually up to the house.
Yeah.
So.
But you know the treads should go over the top of the brick. Your brick wall should come up and become an architectural feature. It needs to be hidden under the stringer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to do with the stone treads. Just have a brick come up, have a stone come to it, have the brick chase around as it's rising, the tread coming over the top of the brick.
I think we just need more information. So we need a sample of the brick and maybe some more detailed drawings that actually show, because we're trying to kind of pick and pull from this what it is the actual plan is. But I think everybody's on board with it needs to appear to be an old wood step on the front, then it needs to have a turned post like the original. But if you need a structural retaining wall in the face of the brick veneer, or use reinforced brick if that's engineerable for your purposes, as long as it's not visible from the front.
Reinforced brick, playoffs.
It's up to you and your engineer to figure it out.
You said reinforced brick, but those are playoffs and then come as wide as 8 inches, so that's really 12. It's 4 inch here, so it's 16 inch.
Can I ask a question just for clarification, make sure I understand from the staff perspective? The retaining wall that gets built on the west side here, is it going to come up to the previous grade right here? Like say like right around this, and so I'm calling this the grade that was previously there, about approximately. The retaining wall come up to about here, or is it gonna go all the way up to there?
Well, I was gonna bring it all the way up.
Okay.
But with the steps.
So the
wall was the one side of the stairwell.
And it's going to connect onto the edge there, where
yes.
the edge of the bricks are.
Right.
So in theory, it's all in the same plane, all in the same line.
So this is going to be
the west.
A bit wider than it was previously than to the brick walk, or the stairs going up are going to be.
Yes.
Because the previous ones were not as wide as the porch. They were narrower, correct? And
you show it here being stepped in on the corner. The stairs don't come all the way
to
the
stair, but on the left, that was the retaining wall.
So they're going to be inside the retaining wall, so the retaining wall is going to do this. It's going to be ramped.
It might not be the best picture. I'm not an architect, but I thought
I'd get a full. So, I'm sorry, I want to make sure that. For everybody's understanding, that we're clear. So the wall then will come down and do this kind of that, like if my hand is at the top of the wall, does this, that goes down that. Okay, and then the stairs are inside of that.
That was his original
with the
proposal with the limestone cap.
The limestone cap.
Right. Right. But we're proposing that we wouldn't want to see the retaining wall. It would need to be structurally to support the wood-framed stairs. So it would not have a protrusion above the risers, even like this concrete up here.
Is that already a wall? In this, if I were to look at that side from the out, I mean, you already have a wall going back, correct?
That's been demolished.
Not anymore. That's
so there was a wall.
Yeah,
and it terminated right about this level, did it not? Is that right?
Yeah.
More or less.
Yes, more or less.
And so the stairs came down and then met their footing right here on that grade, and this was so the retaining wall previously was right there, and then it kind of followed out towards the street, and then it, you know, there was a walk, and then the concrete stairs went down to the sidewalk. Okay.
So
So what are you, this whole concrete stair is gone?
Yeah.
As mm-hmm. well? So what are you proposing to do here?
That's part of the stairwell. Mm-hmm. So the, I was building it up, and then it leveled out just like before. Coming up to the plate. So I think it was 6 steps or 7 steps on the first ground, and 6 or 7 on the second.
Very shallow steps in the front. They weren't covered.
No. Yeah. Mine were going to be 7 quarter, so 7.5. But those were probably 6.5.
And a wall.
I don't know whether to take one or two.
It's a wall. Height of wall.
Hold it on.
Well, I don't personally have any problem with this portion being in the brick and limestone. It seems that there's precedent for that in the neighborhood. Some of these are brick, and some of these are stone, and some of these are concrete. It's just this portion of the house mm-hmm. that we want to retain that.
I mean, at least half the houses in the neighborhood have brick stairs.
But I think, so what I'm hearing from the commission is that we don't have enough information at this point. We don't understand exactly what we're tight, because there's been a lot of discussion here and a lot of changes. I mean, if you want to kind of move forward with what you have here, I'm hearing not a lot of support of that from the commission and some changes that
so
the commission.
So I need my evidence of the house of similar style and has brick stairs.
Yeah. That are vintage to that house. So not brick stairs that were built in 1994.
Or
on your house, something like that.
1940. And, you know, I would say that if you're not successful in finding that you need to have a little think about, you know, my fellow commissioners' comments about how it's okay to do what you want to do on the lower portion of that, but you need to maybe think about how you could combine the wooden step with your retaining wall that you want to face in brick, right? You're going to do it like CMU or whatever, right? Just to cut down on your time, because I know obviously your time is valuable. All I'm saying is that if you don't have success in finding that historical house that would show that to us, that when you come back in front of us, I would suggest that you have a plan of how you want to proceed.
So I guess I'm throwing it back to you. Would you like us to vote on the proposal that's before the commission?
Sure.
To have that, because then there's a subsequent appeal process that you can go through in that case. I mean, so there's, I mean, we can
we,
do that.
Can
we can
defer
move forward if there is a
motion.
We could defer.
Well, I guess the question I would have for the owner is, so I want really quick, I'm going to recap. So what I've heard is that the proposed replacement post that the commission would like to additional efforts made to source posts that are stylistically architecturally similar to the ones that were original to the house. Let's see, what else do I have? That using bricks on the lower portion, bricks and limestone on the lower portion of, you know, of the stairs, and sort of a similar configuration to what was there in concrete before is fine, but that for the preferences for the upper stair going from the walkway to the house be wood.
From the landing to the house.
Yes, landing to the house, exactly. And so I guess those are my two main things, I think, that I'm picking up from this discussion. And so my question is, the commission can vote on this as it is, and if the vote is not successful or if it denies the application, then we'd write a denial decision, and you'd have 10 days to file an appeal of that decision with the city, which goes to our hearings examiner. Otherwise, if you wanted to try to find additional posts or do additional work on the design, that the commission could defer their decision now and wait for that information and then decide when you come back with that. Those are, I guess, the two options that I would.
And I just didn't want to take away your one option, because appeal is a viable option. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Maybe
we
just defer.
So.
Right.
so we can actually get a motion.
Okay.
And the and just for guidance, just the motion should specify what information you'd like the applicant to return with so that he can take that away.
I fell asleep during your 2 points. I'm sorry. I don't remember now.
So it was, I think that the, what did I have? The
turn posts.
The turn posts, and then so try to find some turn posts, and then consider designing it with the wooden stairs leading to the porch from the walkway.
But also, are we concerned about the brick color? Is that part
additional,
of
I guess, additional yeah. options for brick color.
Okay. Well, I move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission defer the application for 909 North Cushman pending submittal of more purple brick samples, so better color matching as opposed to the ones with buff. Some sort of alternative to the columns that were posed, so ones matching the existing attached ones. And the third thing was sourcing a similar aged house with their staircase to see what it looks like as an example of what is there.
So to clarify that you said the columns, that I understood that the columns I have actually used for the rear porch, not the front porch. Was the porch. Is that what I heard before?
The front porch is what we're reviewing
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah, and that's just one post, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but the ones I have used on the rear porch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the third highlight was that we wanted to see examples of existing historic houses that show either brick or wood, and consider using, you can use your design idea of from the street to the landing of brick with limestone treads, but the commission's preference is to go back to a wooden stair.
Motion by Commissioner Slessor. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Commissioner Johnson. Is there any more discussion on the motion?
Are you? Do you think you're clear on everything? Okay. Thank you for doing that.
No further discussion. We'll go to a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you.
So he's a contractor who doesn't get a permit.
Moving on to added piece of business, a very quick piece of added business, hopefully, is this is following on a discussion we had a couple of meetings ago concerning the commission taking a more active role in identifying properties that should be, or that we think should move forward for landmark nomination. Commissioner Mortensen, let me know that I think it was last night that the commissioners,
sorry,
that the historic Tacoma board Commissioner McClintock, just because you were there at the vote,
I'm sorry,
does not mean you don't have to listen to me.
I'm sorry.
That the historic Tacoma board voted unanimously to join in a partnership with the Landmarks Preservation Commission to, and their thought, or the thought that's kind of come out of that, is for us to use our power as a commission to form an advisory committee, which is part of our guidelines and our purview, and move forward in a partnership to identify underrepresented properties in the city of Tacoma that we believe would form a list that should be targeted for moving forward with landmarks. In my head, it would kind of be, I thought of it because Reuben, Mr. McKnight showed me the work that's been done on equity in the city of Tacoma, which was quite stark if you've seen the colored maps. And I thought that the advisory committee would be one really on equity and diversity and representation for the register. That would be the purview of that advisory committee. Hopefully we're getting a great list. And then as we see things like Tacoma Creates and other funding opportunities, even from the commission that are moving forward, that we could target these properties. We actually had an instance where we were asked, like, what would be a great property? So it'd be great to have that at our disposal and something that's kind of focused and proactive, and we're thinking about the future as we're seeing it unfold as well.
Or before it disappears.
Before it disappears, yes.
And the Asbury House on Hilltop is an excellent case in point. And I'm more than happy to expand for way more time than we have on the importance of that house and the people who live there.
So we will save that for another commission meeting, but I was wondering if there's any thoughts, comments on this proposal that's been put forward.
I think it sounds like a great idea, but I wonder, this just shows me not paying attention maybe or something, but is there somewhere on our website or on the commission's website that lists the list of properties?
Yes.
And is it with maps too? Or
we have both. We have just a static PDF, and we also have an interactive map.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll go look.
And I'll expand a little bit on Kevin's remarks too. I actually met with the other day with Allison Beeson, who's the staff person that's doing the Tacoma's Opportunity Map and equity analyses for the city, looking at all sorts of different data measures and things like that. And she is she's taking our historic data sets too and putting them into her her GIS machine. And and I think that she'll probably be, I've invited her anyways to come and talk to the commission later on this summer about some of her observations from that data as well and how that might inform the commission's work in the future.
As an aside, if she's not using ArcGIS story maps, I would highly recommend it if she's doing presentations.
ArcGIS.
ArcGIS story maps.
Oh, story maps, okay.
Yeah, yep. It's a feature in GIS or ArcGIS.
Any other thoughts? I'm hearing general support. So if there is general support, I actually am going to exercise my, my ability as a chair and as a member of the commission to make a motion myself. And that motion would be that the commission forms an advisory committee on equity and diversity and representation on the Tacoma's Register.
Second
motion. Motion made by Commissioner Bartoy, seconded by Commissioner Slessor. We'll go for a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? The motion carries. We now have an advisory committee.
Very good.
Thank you all. And preservation and planning business.
Well, I'll be brief. The posters and calendar are in the packet. Preservation month is done. I think it went well. Let me know if you have any feedback. That's all.
And I have been asked to let the commission know that the Planning Commission has or is going to vote to send the Historic Preservation Code amendments that came through the last cycle forward to City Council with no changes as recommended by the Landmarks Commission. So that action is going to take place, I think, next week formally, but that's the staff guidance they've given us now. And then, of course, then we're in the City Council. We'll see what happens then.
Great. Excellent. And I am not going to have any chair comments, but thank everyone for a very long and detailed meeting and a lot of good work. So I will adjourn our meeting. Thank you.